From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. President Donald Trump is under intense pressure not to walk away from the 2015 Iran nuclear agreement, including words from British Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson.
We think that it's a valuable agreement. We think it's one of the great achievements of collective diplomacy over the last couple of decades. We accept that Iranian behavior has been disruptive in the region. We accept that the president has some valid points that need to be addressed, but we believe they are capable of being addressed, and we hope the deal will be preserved.
One of the deal's chief proponents, French President Emmanuel Macron, is on a state visit to the U.S. The agreement expected to be on the agenda item Tuesday. German Chancellor Angela Merkel will follow Mr. Macron, meeting Mr. Trump Friday at the White House, also expected to urge him to back the deal. The president has called the three-year-old agreement flawed and has a decision to make by May 12 whether to reimpose sanctions on Tehran. Among his objections, Tehran's ballistic missile program, international inspections, and the agreement's sunset provision. Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif told the Council on Foreign Relations in New York what's needed and most now in the region is dialogue.
That is why we have suggested in a number of op-eds that I've written, as well as in other presentations, a regional dialogue forum.
Iran's President Hassan Rouhani Tuesday warned of grave consequences if the U.S. pulls out of the nuclear accord. Former Malawian President Joyce Banda is expected to return to the country Saturday after 3 years of self-imposed exile over corruption allegations she denies. The scandal surrounding her administration came to be known as Cashgate, in which senior government officials siphoned millions from state coffers. This is VOA News. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un Monday visited the Chinese embassy in Pyongyang, expressing his sympathy over Sunday's bus accident that killed 32 Chinese tourists. At the Pentagon, U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis expressed optimism about proposed U.S. North Korean talks on denuclearization.
Right now, I think there's a lot of reasons for optimism that the negotiations will be fruitful. And we'll see.
But the White House said Pyongyang won't get sanctions relief until it takes concrete action to give up its nuclear weapons. Saturday, the North pledged to forego further missile and nuclear testing and close a testing facility. In Toronto, a driver behind the wheel of a white Ryder rental truck plowed into pedestrians on a crowded street Monday, killing 10, injuring 15. Police identified the driver as 25-year-old Alec Minassian from suburban Toronto, who reportedly has no militant ties. The city's police chief said it appears to have been a deliberate attack. The Syrian army continued bombarding an Islamic State enclave south of Damascus Monday. The assault followed recapture of the rebel-held eastern Ghouta region early this month. Hundreds of IS fighters are believed holed up in the town of Hajar al-Aswad, as well as Yarmouk. Houthi rebels in Yemen Monday acknowledged that their political leader was killed last week in a Saudi-led coalition airstrike on the port city Hodeidah. Houthi leader Abdul Malik al-Houthi said it's with great sadness that Salah al-Samad was martyred last Thursday. He vowed to take revenge. The UN, meantime, condemned an airstrike on a wedding party Sunday that killed at least 20 people. The U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee narrowly recommended advancing the nomination of Central Intelligence Agency Director Mike Pompeo to the full Senate for confirmation as Secretary of State. The vote was strictly along party lines, 11 to 10. Pompeo's confirmation is expected later this week to replace Rex Tillerson. It's a boy for the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. Kate, the wife of Britain's Prince William, gave birth Monday to the third child, a boy weighing 3.8 kilograms. Hundreds, including John Loughery, gathered outside the hospital.
Ever so pleased. The Duchess of Cambridge came out in red, a beautiful for St. George's Day. Her baby boy is the first royal baby in history to be born on St. George's Day. The Duchess of Cambridge will never forget this, and I hope they call it George in the middle name.
The new addition to the British royal family is fifth in line to the throne. The UN cultural agency UNESCO, along with the United Arab Emirates in Iraq, signed an agreement Monday to finance reconstruction of a landmark mosque in Mosul blown up by Islamic State last year. The Grand Nuri Mosque dates to the 12th century, is famous for a leaning minaret. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.